Today is the 18th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Today and every day. It's wonderful. We have this place, the Global Campfire, that we're all just hanging out at. I love it. It's wonderful to be here with you as we just exhale, let go of the cares of this life. Not in a weird way, like if we gotta have them, we can go get them. It's just like, give ourselves a few minutes to breathe and just let God speak through His Word. We have been navigating our way in and through the book of Isaiah, which is what we will continue to do today. Reading from the Christian Standard Bible this week. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 14 through 30 verse 11. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. For you said, "We have made a covenant with death, and we have an agreement with Sheol. When the overwhelming catastrophe passes through, it will not touch us. Because we have made falsehood our refuge and have hidden behind treachery." Therefore, the Lord God said, "Look, I have laid a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will be unshakable, and I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the mason's level. Hail will sweep away the false refuge, and water will flood your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be dissolved, and your agreement with Sheol will not last. When the overwhelming catastrophe passes through, you will be trampled. Every time it passes through, it will carry you away. It will pass through every morning, every day, and every night. Only terror will cause you to understand the message. Indeed, the bed is too short to stretch out on, and its cover too small to wrap up in. For the Lord will rise up as he did at Mount Perazim. He will rise in wrath as at the valley of Gibeon to do his work, his unexpected work, and to perform his task, his unfamiliar task. So now, do not scoff, or your shackles will become stronger. Indeed, I have heard from the Lord God of armies a decree of destruction for the whole land. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. Does the plowman plow every day to plant seed? Does he continuously break up and cultivate the soil? When he has leveled its surface, does he not then scatter black cumin and sow cumin? He plants wheat in rows and barley in plots, with spelt as their border. His God teaches him order. He instructs him. Certainly black cumin is not threshed with a threshing board, and a cartwheel is not rolled over the cumin. But black cumin is beaten out with a stick, and cumin with a rod. Bread grain is crushed, but is not threshed endlessly. Though the wheel of the farmer's cart rumbles, his horses do not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of armies. He gives wondrous advice. He gives great wisdom. Woe to Ariel, Ariel, the city where David camped. Continue year after year. Let the festivals recur. I will oppress Ariel, and there will be mourning and crying, and she will be to me like an Ariel. I will camp in a circle around you. I will besiege you with earth ramps, and I will set up my siege towers against you. You will be brought down. You will speak from the ground, and your words will come from low in the dust. Your voice will be like that of a spirit from the ground. Your speech will whisper from the dust. Your many foes will be like fine dust, and many of the ruthless like blowing chaff. Then suddenly, in an instant, you will be punished by the Lord of Armies with thunder, earthquake, and loud noise, storm, tempest, and a flame of consuming fire. All the many nations going out to battle against Ariel, all the attackers, the siege works against her, and those who oppress her, will then be like a dream, a vision in the night. It will be like a hungry one who dreams he is eating, then wakes and is still hungry, and like a thirsty one who dreams he is drinking, then wakes and is still thirsty, longing for water. So it will be for all the many nations who go to battle against Mount Zion. Stop and be astonished. Blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with beer. For the Lord has poured out on you an overwhelming urge to sleep. He has shut your eyes, the prophets, and covered your heads, the seers. For you, the entire vision will be like the words of a sealed document. If it is given to one who can read, and he is asked to read it, he will say, "I can't read it because it is sealed." And if the document is given to one who cannot read, and he is asked to read it, he will say, "I can't read." The Lord said, "These people approach me with their speeches to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me, and human rules direct their worship of me. Therefore, I will again confound these people with wonder after wonder. The wisdom of their wise will vanish, and the perception of their perceptive will be hidden. Woe to those who go to great lengths to hide their plans from the Lord. They do their works in the dark and say, 'Who sees us? Who knows us?' You have turned things around as if the potter were the same as the clay. How can what is made say about its maker, 'He didn't make me'? How can what is formed say about the one who formed it, 'He doesn't understand what he's doing'? Isn't it true that in just a little while Lebanon will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest? On that day, the deaf will hear the words of a document, and out of a deep darkness the eyes of the blind will see. The humble will have joy after joy in the Lord, and the poor people will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless one will vanish, the scorner will disappear, and all those who lie in wait with evil intent will be killed. Those who, with their speech, accuse a person of wrongdoing, who set a trap for the one mediating at the city gate, and without cause deprive the righteous of justice. Therefore, the Lord, who redeemed Abraham, says this about the house of Jacob: Jacob will no longer be ashamed, and his face will no longer be pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands within his nation, they will honor my name. They will honor the Holy One of Jacob and stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who are confused will gain understanding, and those who grumble will accept instruction. Woe to the rebellious children! This is the Lord's declaration. They carry out a plan, but not mine. They make an alliance, but against my will, piling sin on top of sin. Without asking my advice, they set out to go down to Egypt in order to seek shelter under Pharaoh's protection and take refuge in Egypt's shadow. But Pharaoh's protection will become your shame, and refuge in Egypt's shadow, your humiliation. For though his princes are at Zoan and his messengers reach as far as Hanes, everyone will be ashamed because of a people who can't help. They are of no benefit. They are no help. They are good for nothing but shame and disgrace. A pronouncement concerning the animals of the Negev. Through a land of trouble and distress, of lioness and lion, of viper and flying serpent. They carry their wealth on the backs of donkeys and their treasures on the humps of camels to a people who will not help them. Egypt's help is completely worthless. Therefore, I call her Rahab, who just sits. Go now. Write it on a tablet in their presence and inscribe it on a scroll. It will be for the future, forever and ever. They are a rebellious people, deceptive children, children who do not want to listen to the Lord's instruction. They say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy the truth to us. Tell us flattering things. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Leave the pathway. Rid us of the Holy One of Israel." Galatians 3:23-4:31. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now I say that as long as the heir is a child, he differs in no way from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. Instead, he is under guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were in slavery under the elements of the world. When the time came to completion, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then God has made you an heir. But in the past, since you didn't know God, you were enslaved to things that by nature are not God's. But now, since you know God, or rather have become known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elements? Do you want to be enslaved to them all over again? You are observing special days, months, seasons, and years. I am fearful for you that perhaps my labor for you has been wasted. I beg you, brothers and sisters, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have not wronged me. You know that previously I preached the gospel to you because of a weakness of the flesh. You did not despise or reject me, though my physical condition was a trial for you. On the contrary, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing? For I testify to you that, if possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. So then, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? They court you eagerly, but not for good. They want to exclude you from me, so that you would pursue them. But it is always good to be pursued in a good manner, and not just when I am with you. My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be with you right now and change my tone of voice because I don't know what to do about you. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, don't you hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave and the other by a free woman. But the one by the slave was born as a result of the flesh, while the one by the free woman was born through promise. These things are being taken figuratively. For the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate woman will be many, more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband." Now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then, the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the spirit, so also now. But what does the scripture say? "Drive out the slave and her son, for the son of the slave will never be a co-heir with the son of the free woman." Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of a slave, but of the free woman. Psalm 62. Trust in God alone. For the choir director, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. I am at rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will never be shaken. How long will you threaten a man? Will all of you attack as if he were a leaning wall or a tottering fence? They only plan to bring him down from his high position. They take pleasure in lying. They bless with their mouths, but they curse inwardly. Selah. Rest in God alone, my soul, for my hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I will not be shaken. My salvation and glory depend on God, my strong rock. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before Him. God is our refuge. Selah. Common people are only a vapor, important people an illusion. Together on a scale, they weigh less than a vapor. Place no trust in oppression or false hope in robbery. If wealth increases, don't set your heart on it. God has spoken once. I have heard this twice. Strength belongs to God, and faithful love belongs to you, Lord, for you repay each according to his works. Proverbs 23, 19 through 21. Listen, my son, and be wise. Keep your mind on the right course. Don't associate with those who drink too much wine or with those who gorge themselves on meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will become poor, and grogginess will clothe them in rags. Okay, so we have a bit of a delicate reality that we have to look at in what Paul is writing to the Galatians today. And we've spent a good amount of time beginning with Romans and kind of moving our way through to where we are now, exploring what was going on, what the issues were, what the challenges theologically were in Paul's time. We've explored Jew and Gentile relations and the difficulties there, because that's in so many ways, the role of the oppressed to the oppressor. We've looked at all these things to give ourselves some context for what Paul is actually saying, because so many of the things that he is saying are highly theological and very much rooted in Judaism. We can read like from a couple thousand years in the future now, where it's a completely, like, the landscape of the earth has changed radically. We can wonder why these old arguments and these problems that they were having, why they have anything to do with us. Like, can't this just be settled? Paul made it into the Bible, right? He made it into the Bible. Let's just go with it. Because the things that he's talking about, the persecutions that he's talking about, like, those things are not really affecting most of us. It's just a different world. And so why does it matter? There's a passage today as Paul is unpacking an explanation that should allow us to immediately get ourselves into the mindset of the hearers of the Apostle Paul. And then we should be able to pretty well quickly see the tension and why people were trying to kill Paul everywhere he went. So Paul says, "The law, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus." So we can read that with modern ears and go, I don't see the controversy here. This is really good news. We don't have to live under that Mosaic law that nobody seems to have been able to live up to. Jesus' work has made me righteous by faith, and that's that. Here's where it gets tricky, though. When Paul says the law, he's talking about Torah. And at the time of Paul, this is the time when actually the Hebrew scriptures, what we now know as the Old Testament, were actually, all of the writings were coming together cohesively. So when Paul talks about the law, he's talking about the Torah. He's talking about the scriptures that they knew and had. What we now know as the Old Testament is coming together. And at this point in time, there isn't a New Testament. Paul couldn't refer in any of his letters to the Gospel of Matthew, or let's all turn over into Luke chapter 5. Those things hadn't been written yet. Paul couldn't have referred to anything from Matthew to Revelation. He could have perhaps referred to his own letters, but he was sending those. So if there were a Bible in the context that Paul is speaking in, it would have been the law, the Torah. And so if we go back and read this scripture again and replace law with what would be more appropriate to our understanding, Bible, we'd see why Paul caused controversy. Let's read this. The law, then, right, the scriptures, then, was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For through faith you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. That was a very, very difficult leap for a lot of people to walk away from this written law given to their prophet Moses from ages past, and to believe that it has all been fulfilled and accomplished through Jesus. And now what is required is faith in Jesus, believing that that will transform our spirit into a new creation. Well, this is the good news. And many could not get their heads or hearts around it. And we can be like, wow, they really blew that, didn't they? They were just, was right in front of them, and they just didn't see it. And they just decided, wow, freedom is available, but I'm gonna go ahead and try to continue to obey these laws. Well, we do similar things even today. So let's think about this for a second. What is the Bible? And before I even go here, please, like, if my life doesn't show this, like, if me showing up 7 days a week in front of this microphone and reading the Bible doesn't speak enough for itself, then let me say, I love the scriptures. I don't really know where I would be if they hadn't come into my life to guide me. So I want that to be clear. But what is this that we're reading? The Bible. What is this? Is this the holy word of God? Is this a document that instructs us on how to live our lives? And it tells us about who God is? We probably agree, yeah, it's all of that. It's more than that, but it's all of that. What if we were able to take this Bible that we are reading, and what if we could obey everything that the Bible says? Would following those rules successfully, all by themselves, we read them out of the Bible and then we obeyed them successfully, would that make us right with God and give us salvation? So we can see that the issue is still with us today, because we still are trying to do that, like to obey this. And it's not that we shouldn't obey this. It's that if we think that just reading the words is going to do something, we're missing the point. Let's break this down a little bit further. Let me quote from Paul. For through faith, you are all sons of God in Christ Jesus. For those of you who were baptized into Christ have been clothed with Christ. There is no Jew, slave or free, male and female, since you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Man, if what Paul says is true, that's a big, big, big deal. But just reading those words doesn't do anything. Having faith in the reality Paul is describing, though, changes everything. And that's in part Paul's point. You trying to obey some laws that your heart is not in at all, or espousing a different belief system than the one you were raised in or whatever, that can't save you. The Bible can't save you. The Bible points the way to the God who can save you. And so if all we're doing is trying to, like, obey the rules, or if all we're doing is trying to process the words and obey the commands, then we're missing the point. There is a God behind it all, and the Bible points us to God. If we don't reach out in faith, take that leap into the mystery, then we won't find God. We'll just continue to read words about God. And Paul says there is something, there is an activating agent, there's an irreplaceable piece. Faith. We have to step beyond what we can control and what we think we know, and leap into a relationship with God by faith. Otherwise, we've gone nowhere. And so we have to think about our own lives. Is it the Bible that we're worshiping and defending? Or the words and the sentences and paragraphs and chapters and books reveal God to us, a God that we have reached for in faith and that we continually reach for in faith and fall deeply and more deeply in love with. Like, are we reading the words of Paul that say we can die to who we were and have a reset and be a new creation? Or have we reached in faith and died to the person we were and have been recreated a new creation? And that this work of sanctification, of ever increasing holiness, of setting us apart to God, is this happening? Or is this just a concept we know about from the Bible? Or are we thinking that if we can measure up enough, then Jesus will give us what we keep asking him for? Are we trying to be obedient to a set of rules so that we can get something? Like, Paul is saying, God loves you so much that he came for you, rescued you, adopted you. You are his child. You are an heir to his kingdom at the level that Jesus is. You are a joint heir with Jesus. And you are invited to actually start living your life. Stop knowing about God and start knowing God. He is so much better than we can possibly comprehend. He is more loving than we have the capacity to comprehend. He knows us more intimately than we know ourselves. And I don't know about you, but I confuse myself all the time. So I don't have a lock on who I am, but my Father does. Let's leap into this relationship. Let's run with this. If what Paul is saying is true, then this changes everything. And we should be changing everything. Not by getting into a mob mentality and getting all political. We should be changing everything by the way that we live our lives. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill. It shouldn't take anything more than us being us, sanctified and deeply in love with Jesus. And so, Holy Spirit, come. Plenty to think about. Plenty to think about our own lives. Plenty to think about the way that we're living this out. Are we trying to figure this out so that we can make it work? Or are we trying to reach as hard as we can into the mystery, reaching for you, knowing that you will lead and guide us through each other, through your Holy Spirit, through the scriptures, through circumstance, through the world that we live in? You are always, always reaching for us. And 99% of the time, we're just not paying attention. And yet, what Paul is describing is like, what else could we have wanted as creatures who are created? What else could we want but to be reunited with our Creator in a deep and abiding, intimate relationship? And so as we consider this today, come Holy Spirit, show us the way that we should go. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, DAB family. This is MKR Weber in Virginia. I'm calling today to provide an update on my friend who has stage 4 lung cancer, which is incurable. He started his journey, I guess, back in February of this year. He continues to struggle with a lot of things, but my prayer request for him today is, of course, to just ask the Lord to help him find the Lord, where he is certain that the Lord is present in his life to give him some peace, some peace in his mind and his spirit and in his body. I think that that would help. Well, of course, it would help with everything, because when you got God in your heart, you know, you got it, you got everything. But I know it's difficult when you feel poorly and when you're afraid. I know my friend struggles with this. I know it's difficult for him to pray to somebody that he can't see and he didn't have a relationship with prior to this happening. So I'd ask the DAB family to please pray for this soul that really needs God in his life right now, and that in some way God gives him a message or shows him that he is there. And also, everybody praise God today. Love you.
Hello, this is JD from VA. I'm calling because I need prayer. I've been desperately searching for work, and the jobs I find is not enough to take care of bills. I moved here to help take care of my family, and it seems like I'm struggling. And I'm just amazed at how many people are going through the same issue. I just don't know what to do. But I ask that y'all just give me your prayers, and not just for work, but just for a closer relationship, and to let go of all my cares and to give them to the Lord. And for each person who's going through the same thing I'm going through, to truly trust in them, to let go. And that's not easy, believe me, but I'm trying. I just need help. Thank you.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Billy from Montgomery with the Trinity Stone. I wanted to put a prayer request out there for a friend of mine. Her name is Linda Walls. She has cancer. I think it's cancer of the lymph nodes. It's not a good prognosis at all. She just got diagnosed or whatever. It's just not a good prognosis. I think they gave her 3 months to live. It's just not good. It's in her, like I said, it's in the lymph node area of her body, and it's just all over. She just needs to be covered up in prayer, and we just need to keep her covered up in prayer and washed with the blood of Jesus. And that is all. I will talk to you guys later. Love y'all. Bye for now.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Summer in the Songbird in Nebraska. Today is September 13th. 2023, and I just want to join the community in prayer for today's requests. God, this, we had the death of a child and the birth of a child. Cancer in slowing stages, and we know we have family members here with cancer in progressing stages. And families and marriages on life support. We bring it all to you, Lord. Our praises to you, our prayers to you. Be glorified through the healing, through the long, healthy life, through the restoration, through the healed hearts, through restored families. Be glorified through it all, Jesus. We love you so much, and we pray in your holy name. Amen.